All right, so tonight I'm going to be carrying on from where we stopped last time. We're looking at Grief and Hope Part 3. Grief and Hope Part 3. Now, I'm just going to do a slight recap on the previous parts that we've done, just to give it context again. So in the first part, we looked at what is grief and mourning. And in that part, the point I made was the fact that God understands grief, God understands mourning, and God understands where everyone is at when they're experiencing grief. He's not just far away. And the first part as well, we also looked at the fact that God wants us to have a bright view of the future, that grief just doesn't end one's future and it's going to be gloomy forever. So we spent quite some time looking at that when we looked at it at first in part one of this series. Now, last week we looked at, which is the second part, the questions that we ask. And we went through a number of questions that we would normally, that people normally ask in the context of grief. We looked at the question of why, we looked at the question of when, and we looked at the question of where, and we looked at that in quite a lot of detail. And what I mentioned last week was that God wants us to ask questions, and we looked at different examples in the Bible where the disciples asked Jesus questions, and he was quite happy to answer those questions. But we also looked at the fact that there are times that we don't get the answers that we are expecting, or the answers to our questions are not answered by God. So what do we do in those scenarios? I mentioned that in those scenarios, something supernatural happens to the believer when you're waiting for an answer, or when you're seeking an answer to a pressing question, but you're not getting it. God does something in place of your missing answer, or in place of the answer that you're not getting. And we said the thing that he gives the believer is strength. So that even though you're not getting all the answers you want, even though you don't know why things have happened, he just doesn't leave you and I wondering. He just doesn't leave you and I just, in limbo. He gives us strength to be able to bear with the situation that we're at any point in time when we do not have the answers that we're looking for. So those were kind of like the things that we looked at last week and the week before. Today, we're looking at a number of things. And like I mentioned, this is the final part of the series. And we're looking at how we move on from the place of grief to the place where, I'm not saying, life becomes exactly the same as it was before one loses a loved one. But we move on from the place of grief into the place of healing, into the place where we begin to live life again, the way God wants us to live life. So we'll look at a number of things here. So tonight I'm looking at three points. The first point is something that I believe one might ask a number of times, or one might wonder. And the first point here is, why do some believers leave, or should I say, go to be with the Lord earlier than maybe would normally expect? For example, when I say earlier than we would normally expect, we're talking about maybe someone who is really young, maybe in their 40s, their 50s, their 30s, and we're expecting that this person will have grown to be old, maybe they will have grown to be 70 or 80, or we perceive that there's so much ahead of them that they probably were looking forward to. In that circumstance, why would they depart suddenly from the earth? So that's the question we're looking at. Now, I'm not going to pretend to have all the answers. I'm just going to refer to some things in the Bible that will try and give us some level of explanation with regards to this. But like I said, it might not be the final answer to answer the questions that might be on one's mind specifically. But just gives us an indication of the way God views this sometimes. So why do some saints, or why do some believers depart earlier than you would expect in their journey of life. Now, the first one we look at is the fact that there are times that a believer, even though that person is young, completes the work that God has given them here on earth, and they go. Now, if we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it says something there. It says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So, in this case, it was Paul who was saying this, and well, he had lived quite a bit. I think history says it was, you know, he wasn't exactly young, but he gives us an indication there that in the life of the believer, in the life of you and I, we're here on this earth for a specific period of time. Now, the fortunate thing is that there are people who will find and follow God's will for their lives, which is maybe God has appointed that they will touch certain lives, they will preach the gospel, they will do certain things in the kingdom of heaven. Now, when one finds one, you know, following God's will in that circumstance, once one has finished one's assignment, then it's possible that they could, you know, just go to be with the Lord. So that's one part. If you look at Philippians chapter 1 verses 23 to 24, Philippians chapter 1 verses 23 to 24, it says, Paul was saying something here. It says, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So the first point we see here about is about why believers might leave, you know, pass on when they're slightly younger than we would expect someone of that age to pass on. And we see here that sometimes they've just finished what God has sent them to do on earth here. And Paul was making an interesting statement here. This was a man that really understood eternity. And at one point in his life, he was saying, look, I really want to be with Christ, which is by far better, because he understood eternity. But he said, well, but I think I'll stay much longer so that I can, my ministry can benefit you. So this was a man that understood that, look, when we're on earth here, apart from the regular things we do, have kids, have go to work, all these things which are legitimate and which are fantastic, we have friends, we have family. However, there is one overarching thing here, and that is that God places each and every one of us on this earth one way or the other, and he gives us certain things that we do in context of the kingdom of God. So the first point is the person might have finished their work at a very young age and they leave. If we look at the case of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus was God incarnate on earth here. And he lived 33 years. When it was time for Jesus to be crucified, he was crucified and he left. Do you understand? So what I'm saying is that one reason might be that they're done in terms of what God has asked them to, or should I say sent them to do on earth here, and they leave. Now, so that's the first point. Another point with regards to why some believers might leave earlier than expected is that the Bible tells us that sometimes God sees the future of every individual. And sometimes he chooses to just remove them from this earth and take them to heaven to prevent certain things from happening to them in the future. I'm not quite sure how that works, but if we look at Job chapter 14, Isaiah chapter 57 verse 1, Isaiah chapter 57 verse 1, he says, the righteous perish and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. So Isaiah chapter 57 verse 1 here says that there are times that the righteous, the believer, you know, is taken away. Their lives are taken away. Well, they depart suddenly sometimes. And sometimes we don't reflect to say, okay, why has this happened? Sometimes we reflect as well, but we don't have the answers. But the Bible tells us something here that there are times, and I'm not saying this is all the time, that a believer will be removed from the earth because God wants to spare them from a particular kind of evil that probably would have happened to them in the future. So we see here that another reason that someone might, you know, go to be with the Lord early is because God sees their future and he wants to spare them from certain things that might happen to them. So that's the other thing that the Bible says here. Now, the last bit I want to look at here in terms of why some believers leave earlier than we would expect. And this is in Job chapter 14, verse 5. Job chapter 14, verse 5. And it says something here. It says, a person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and you have set limits he cannot exceed. So the third part we see here is this. The life, and I'm talking about people who are believers. I'm not talking about people who are not Christians. So every reference I'm making here is, you know, people who are born again. So it says here that a person's days are determined. And it says you have decreed the number of his months and have set limits that he cannot exceed. So the Bible tells us something here in Job chapter 14, verse 5, that for you and I, God has set the number of days that we're going to spend on earth here. Now, that works in both ways. And I'll come to the second part later. But the first part we see here is that when it's time for you to go, when it's time for me to go, we will go. And God has given every individual a set time to live on earth. Now, I'm talking about believers, the people that maybe it might be till you're 50, it might be till you're 60, it might be till you're 100, so on and so forth. But God has set a time for every individual. So in order to shed light on this question of why believers leave earlier than usual, like I mentioned at the beginning, this is not the full answer. There are things that we'll just never know, like I mentioned. We'll know when we get to heaven. But this gives us an indication that, look, three things I've mentioned here, they finished the work that God has ordained for them to do here. The second is God, you know, takes them away to prevent them from experiencing certain calamities in the future. And the third is God has just set the time for every individual on this earth to live. So that's the first point. I'm looking at three areas tonight. So that was the first one I looked at. Now, the second thing I want to talk about tonight in the context of, still in the context of grieving and when people leave early is this. We need to realize something, and I think this is quite an important point to make. Your life is not haphazard. And what I mean by that is that people just don't, I mean, for the believer just doesn't just, you know, die like that and that's the end of the matter, or at the flick of a finger, or not or not being sure that, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go tomorrow. And all what I'm just trying to say is that the life of a believer is certain. There is no uncertainty with regards to when a believer dies and goes to be with the Lord, or how long a believer will live. It is not like a random thing. So when I'm saying it's not a random thing, it should give us confidence. And I'm going to mention on two things in a minute, that anytime a believer dies in the Lord, I'll paraphrase that. How can I put this? It is not a random event. The devil cannot kill a believer. It is not the fault of the devil that a believer dies. The devil cannot say, okay, I'm going to kill you as a Christian and that's it. No, the devil cannot do that. And I use that term, a believer, someone who is born again, very distinctively. Now, if someone is not born again, that's a totally different ball game. I'm not going to go into that. I'm talking about people who are believers. As a believer, the devil cannot kill you randomly. And we need to really understand that. Your life cannot be terminated randomly as well. Now, how do I know that? So the second point I'm making is that we can be confident that God will not allow you as a believer to die before your time. or should I say before the time that has been set for you by him. Now, if we're going to look at 2 points here, I want to look at the story of Paul, the apostle. Now, Paul was leaving, he left Jerusalem, he had some trouble there, and he was going to Rome. God appeared to him and said, look, you will stand before Caesar, so on and so forth, and you will take the gospel to Rome. Now, when he left Jerusalem, they wanted to kill him there. He went to some other places. And at the end of the day, he was put on a ship that was meant to transport him to Rome because that was where God wanted him to go to. Now, a number of things happened on that ship. There was a great storm and everything was in disarray. And that whole story is in Acts chapter 27, but I'm going to read a portion of Acts chapter 27 to give us context about this thing that I've just explained. That as a believer, the devil cannot kill you at random. You cannot just die at random. Why? Because God has set a time for you and I. And I'm using that word as a believer. Now, Acts chapter 27, I'll read verses 23 and 20 to 25. It says, last night, an angel of the Lord to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he has told me. Now, what this is saying is that there was the ship that Paul was being transported on to Rome. There was a storm for several days. There was no sunlight. The whole thing was, you know, the whole ship was breaking into pieces. In fact, at the end of the thing, the whole ship actually broke into pieces. In the middle of the ocean, it seemed like that was the end of his life. Everybody had given up. And an angel stood right before him and told him something that we need to take to heart. He said, look, you will stand before Caesar. Ignore everything that's going on around you. It seems like, you know, you're going to die, blah, blah, blah. Ignore it. You are going to stand before Caesar because that is what God has assigned for you to do. I'm paraphrasing this part now. Until that happens, you're not going to die. You're not going anywhere. Do you understand? So we see here that the devil couldn't kill Paul. Nature couldn't kill Paul. I mean, until it was a time set for him by, you know, until he had fulfilled what God has had set for him. So the other thing we see around the fact that we cannot just die before our time randomly is if you look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5b, God says something there. He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Do you understand what I mean? Now, so what am I saying? I'm saying here that we do not die randomly as believers. Do you understand what I mean? Until we have fulfilled exactly what God has called us to fulfill. There's some scriptures that I wanted to read tonight, but I'm just going to leave that alone. Now, someone might say, I'll just allude to this, that, oh, as a Christian, that person, you know, died of this sickness, and that person died. You know, that's another entirely different story. The point I want to make tonight is this. You as a believer, God has you in his hand. God has me in his hands. And we do not die randomly. God has set the number of our days when it's time for us to go. However we go, God, you know, will not allow us to go before we finish our time as believers. Now, so the other thing I want to mention now is the third part, which is where I'm going to stop tonight. And I have a number of points there. So how do we move from a point of deep grief and get our lives back to normal? But how do we progress with our lives? Now, I'm not saying that we forget the people who, or the person or persons who, whom we've lost and like, oh, now I'm over that. I don't think we really get over it per se in terms of the fact that we love them, we care about them. I'm not saying that, but how do we move forward in life where, again, we can begin to experience life from a joyful perspective? I'll look at a number of points here tonight. And I pray and I know that God will really help us. Now, the first thing, well, one thing that I'm just going to mention here is this. In moving out of a period of mourning and grief, we need to reach out to the supernatural comfort that God provides. Now, do you know that if I use an analogy here, say, for example, someone cuts themselves, you're jogging and, you cut yourself in the arm or something and you're bleeding. You know, what happens? You go, you get some bandage, you clean the wound and they put some, I don't know what they put nowadays. And that wound begins to heal. It still, hurts a bit, but it begins to heal. Now that's physical healing. When you're applying a bandage, you're applying all those things that make it better. Now, for grief, it is very emotional. You don't see it. You can't see someone's heart who is grieving. Do you understand what I mean? You can't see their heart. So it's an emotional healing that's required to, bring one out of that state. Now, the medicine for that, the Bible tells us, is for the believer, is God's supernatural comfort. There is something that God does to the believer if we reach out to him. And like that thing that, if you cut your arm and you physically apply it to and makes that wound better till it heals. The same way, God has a supernatural thing for us, and it's called the comfort, the supernatural comfort of God. And as we reach out, for that comfort, God begins to do something to us in our heart supernaturally that brings us to the place of healing, or not to the place of healing, that begins the healing process for us, so that we can begin to live our lives in a way that is joyful. Now, so I'm saying that God provides supernatural healing for the heart. Now, if you look at Psalm 34 verse 18, it says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So for people who are brokenhearted, who are feeling grief, the Bible says that God is close to you and I. He's right by our side. Not that he leaves us if we're not brokenhearted and all that. God is always with us. But the Bible tells us here that God is interested in the grief that one might be feeling, the brokenheartedness. And he says it's close to us. He wants to begin to touch that broken heart that one might be experiencing, because he doesn't want us to stay there forever. Do you understand what I mean? And he's close to us. He's not distant, saying, okay, let me see how you're going to carry on, or just, take it on and, let's see how far you go. No, he says he's right there, really close to us, particularly when one has a broken heart resulting from grief. So the other thing he says here as well is Psalm 147 verse 3, it says, talking about God, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So we begin to see that the same way that one might go to a doctor to, if you've cut your arm or something and the doctor dresses it and says, okay, I'm going to put a bandage around that. That is the same way that the Bible says that God is not only close to us, as we read in Psalm 34 verse 18, that as he's close to us, he begins to do something to us if we let him. It says he begins to heal the broken heart. And I mean, I've read of people who they say, they lost someone and they just never get over it, so on and so forth. And but what we see here is that the Bible says that no, God wants you to get over it. Well, let me not say get over it. God wants to heal you from that. He wants to strengthen you. And we see here that God doesn't just say, go to the doctor. He says God himself comes alongside you and I, and he becomes the heart doctor, if I can use that word. Here it says he begins to heal the brokenhearted. He says he binds up their wounds. I mean, that is incredible. So that means that your heart, grief causes a wound in your heart, in my heart. And it's just part of life. But God, the Bible tells us, comes supernaturally and he begins to heal your heart. And he takes a spiritual bandage and he binds up the wounds of your heart. Why? so that you can begin to come out of the place of grief. Do you understand what I mean? God does this, and it is fantastic, I tell you. And so we see that in here. So how do we begin this process? How does God begin to heal our hearts? Do you understand? Well, very simple. And like I said, it's a process. I mean, if you cut your hand and your healing is not just going to disappear in one, you know, in a couple of hours, it's still there. It takes time. But the Bible tells us something here in Psalm 61 verse 2. Psalm 61 verse 2. It says, from the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So God wants us to call out to him and to believe that he will heal us. Do you understand? Heal our hearts. So anytime we're feeling like really grievy, I don't know if there's a word like grievy, but you know, like the grief is hard, it's overwhelming, so on and so forth. It says, look, call to God. God is right by you. You don't have to go anywhere else. Just God is right there. Just talk to him and say, God, this is how I'm feeling. Heal my heart. Touch my heart. Just focusing your attention on God and just asking God to heal your heart and believing that he has begun the process already. So how do we move from the place of healing? So the first thing I've said is that there is something that God has provided, and it's a supernatural comfort. He is our heart doctor. He heals the brokenhearted. So as we turn to him, he begins to heal us. He begins to make us whole again. And the pain of grief begins to dwindle away as we, you know, just believe that God is really going to heal us in this, in terms of this. Two more things with regards to how do we move from the place of healing. Now, one thing we need to realize is this. For the people who died in Christ, you know, there are times that one might say, oh, how I wish this person were here. How I wish they could attend my, you know, I don't know, maybe go on holiday together. And we miss them, or how I wish, you know, this person were here, so on and so forth, which is, you know, stuff that we go through. But one thing we need to realize is this. The person, the believer that dies in Christ is having a fantastic time where they are with Christ. Do you know that? As we're here, we're missing them, we're grieving, and we're, but for them, the Bible tells us that they are, they are experiencing something that we probably have no idea of till we get to heaven. I don't want to use the word lightly. They're having a ball. They are having a fantastic time. So anytime we think about our loved ones that have passed on, remember that, look, where they are right now, they're having a ball. They are having a fantastic time. I was just remembering in my own case, I was just thinking, I don't want to personalize this too much, but I was just thinking about my wife that passed on a couple of months ago, just less than 2 months ago. And I was just thinking, I was like, my, how I wish, you know, she were here to do this with me, so on and so forth. And a thought flashed to my mind. And I believe it was, you know, the Holy Spirit reminding me that, look, where your wife is now, she's having a ball. She's having a fantastic time. Do you understand? So let's have that in mind, that they're not just dead in the ground somewhere and, you know, that's the end of it. No, they are with Christ. They're excited. They're having a fantastic time where they are at the moment. And they're waiting for us. Do you get what I mean? So we see here that so the second point is that anytime we think about the our loved ones that have passed on in Christ, let's just rejoice. It's like, wow, they're having a great time where they are in the presence of Christ. Now, Psalm 16 verse 11 says, you make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So the Bible begins to tell us in Psalm 16 verse 11 here that God, there are eternal pleasures. There's a kind of joy that you and I are not currently experiencing here on earth, although we can. But there's another level of joy. There are eternal pleasures that our loved ones, or the person, or the people who have, who have passed on in Christ that they are experiencing right now. And Psalm 16 verse 11 tells us that. Now, the other thing as well we see here is this. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4, it says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying, for the order of things have passed away. If you look at Revelation chapter 7 verses 13 to 17, I don't want to read the whole portion of scripture now, but Bible tells us that where our loved ones are, there's no pain, there's no hurt. Everything is good. Everything is fantastic where they are. So apart from the fact that they're having a great time there, they're not experiencing any pain, they're not experiencing any hurt, they're not experiencing any disappointment, any heartache. The Bible tells us that Jesus himself wipes away their tears, wipes away every pain. Do you understand? So why am I saying this? I'm saying this so that we can realize that, yes, our loved ones might not be here, but where they are at the moment, if God could give us a glimpse, we might actually be slightly envious. That's what Paul was saying. He said, look, I think I prefer to be with Christ than to be here, because he has seen heaven. He knew what heaven was like. So in thinking of our loved ones that are gone temporarily now, let's remember that where they are is incredible. And that will help us to, you know, move out of this, out of grief that one might be facing. Now, the last thing is this, there are also times that one is thinking that of opportunities that, oh, not opportunities, maybe things that one would have wanted to do with your loved one, or if maybe I had known, I'll have, you know, spent more time with them, I would have done this, I would have done that, so on and so forth, all those things. Now, what I believe the Bible recommends here is this. Anytime our loved ones come to our minds, or someone that we've lost that we're grieving about or mourning about, the Bible wants us, God wants us to remember the good times that we've had with them, but also be thankful that we even had the opportunity to meet with them, or that be thankful to God that we, that the little time, or, you know, as much time or the little time that we spent with them on earth here while they were here, we should be thankful for those times. Do you understand? And to look at it from the perspective that, look, yes, God, anytime I think about this person that I miss so much, what's going to come to my mind? I'm going to be thankful that, okay, they're not here at the moment, but at least I thank you for the times that I spent with them. Thank you for allowing me to share part of their life while they were on earth here. Thank you for the little time or the times that we've spent together in the past, even though they're no longer here. So it's a thing of thankfulness as well, that when memories come to our minds, it shouldn't be, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do now? My life. No, let us be thankful for the times that we spent with them. Do you understand? Thankful to God. Now, I'm going to read a story here. It's kind of like an interesting one. Now, this was a story about David, and he had this affair with Bathsheba at some point. It was a long story. She had a child for him, and this child was at the point of death. And something interesting happened with David here, and I'll read from 2 Samuel chapter 12 verses 20 to 23. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verses 20 to 23. It says, then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotions and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request they served him food and he ate. His attendants asked him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and you eat. He answered, while the child was alive, I fasted and I wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me that the child lives. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not come back to me. So we see a scenario here that one might think, well, this is weird. David was saying something here that I think we need to learn from. When his child was sick, this young child, and David was fasting and praying and everything, that God, let this child stay, let this child stay. At the end, the child actually died and went to, you know, died and left. At that point, David got up, went to the house of the Lord, he worshipped and he ate. And his servants were like, hang on, this is really weird. How come when the child was near the point of death and you were praying and fasting and so sad, the child is now gone and all of a sudden, you know, you're lightening up, you're going to worship, this is weird. And David made a point there. He said, look, while the child was around, who knows, maybe God would, you know, extend the life of this child. But since that didn't happen and the person left, what can I do about it? Life continues. But life continues because David said something, said, look, they can't come back, but one thing I know is that I'm going to meet them. So David just, you know, drew the line and he said, look, I've done all I could and this person has left. I'm not going to continue forever mourning. I'm going to carry on with my life, but with the hope that I'm going to see them in the future. Do you understand what I mean? So if you look at Psalm 9 verse 1, it says there, David again, it says, for the director of music to the tune of the death of the son, a psalm of David. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. So David was saying here in this context that, look, irrespective of what has happened here, God, I'm going to carry on and I'm just going to focus on you and I'm going to move on with life, not forgetting the person that has gone. No, I'm going to meet them in the future, but I'm going to be mega thankful to you. I'm going to be thankful because of the times that I had with them. They're no longer here. Maybe there are times that we were planning to have together in the future. I wanted to see them grow up. I wanted to see them do this with me. Well, that hasn't happened because they're gone, but not a problem. I will be thankful of the times that we've had. And I look forward to seeing them in the future. The last verse I'm going to read here tonight is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. It says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed concerning those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. It says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that they who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive will be left, and who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, it says, encourage yourself with these words. So Paul was saying here that, look, concerning those that have died in Christ, we need to have a different perspective. And that perspective is, hang on, we're going to see them again. In fact, if you're alive, we're alive and Christ happens to come, they're going to come back in the clouds with him. And if it's the case that, you know, Christ doesn't come before you go, you will see them in heaven. So I'm going to stop there tonight. I'm just ending this series. So tonight we've looked at a number of things. Well, three main points really. And the first point that we looked at is the fact that believers can leave earlier than we expect for a number of reasons. It might be that they've finished the assignment. It might be that God wants to keep them from something that might happen to them. And God has a time for everybody. So God determines the time that we stay. So that's the first point. The second point we looked at was the fact that we do not just die at random as believers. God ensures that whatever assignment that he has given us to do, we will fulfill it and he will keep us. The devil can't kill a believer at random. Do you get what I mean? So that's the second point I made. And the third point I made was, how do we move from the point of grief and begin to heal to the point where we get back to what I'll call a joyful Christian life. And I looked at a number of things. I've said that God is our spiritual doctor. He has provided a means of healing the heart that is broken, of healing grief in the heart as we turn to Him and believe that He does. Our hearts begin to heal. Now, the other thing I mentioned about healing from a grief perspective is the fact that each time we remember the people who have gone to be with the Lord, we need to realize that where they are at the moment is unimaginable. It is fantastic. They're having a great time. So that should comfort us. And the last point I made is the fact that, look, we are going to see these folks in the future. And anytime they come back to our minds, we're thinking about them and we miss them, we should respond with thanksgiving to God. That love, that God, thank you for the time I've spent with them. And thank you because I'm going to see them again in the future. I'm going to end there tonight and we'll just pray.